accession number 21107, reel 6.
Raymond Chandler, reel 6. So you went to a school in...
In Ham. This is a... down near the place where the Mona Dams were. Yeah. I think I did wrong because I just sent him there, you know, that's it, you go in. I didn't sort of take him aside and tell him the reason why he had to go, because he couldn't go and get the education in the little school in the barracks. But as I said, I think it was a very good school. Because they attracted good teachers.
So you've got four sons, have you?
I've got four sons, yeah.
Yeah. And a daughter?
Pardon?
Any daughters?
No. Unfortunately, I never had daughters.
Yeah.
Or a good thing, I think, because I've often thought about that in later years. Because my wife died, 30-odd years ago now. I had a young son then. He was just about 18 months when she died. And I often think, what I'd done if she'd been a daughter, because I mean, the boy, I cope no problem with a young girl. It may have been difficult, I don't know.
Yeah, you might have spoilt her.
Ben?
You might have spoilt her.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, this is the thing about the school. Eventually, I got the next post that I got was to RSM in the Junior Leaders Regiment School in North Wales.
In whereabouts in North Wales?
Towin. Don't ask me to spell it. You're not going to.
So you are RSM now?
Yeah.
Yeah. At the Junior Leaders.
The Junior Leaders Regiment in Towin.
Right. So what was that like? This is more promotion.
Ben?
More promotion.
Yes.
We're doing well.
Yeah.
What year was that then?
Oh, God.
You were out in Singapore till what, 58?
Yeah.
So it'd be 59, 60, something like that.
It was about 60, I would think.
Yeah, right. So, tell me about the Junior Leaders Regiment then.
Well, they were all selected young men, I think that'd be 16 at least, who they first we thought they had potential as being junior leaders. And I think they were. I think they were very good. I enjoyed it.
What sort of lads were they? You know, have they been lads who'd done
They were just normal lads who decided they wanted to join the army. Because at that age, they could join as a regular young... what do they call them? A young soldier, anyway.
Mm.
But as they went there, then they would get tested and they supposed to be would decide, well, this one could be... potential junior leader.
Mm. So, what sorts of things were they learning? Were they, I mean, they weren't.
Well, they had a normal education. They had quite a large education staff there.
So it's like just a boarding school, and the army mixed
yeah.
up, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think they did very well, because again, they used to have a passing out parade every year. I think it was every year. And they used to do a passing out parade, which was similar to what they do in Sandhurst when the officers pass out. And the young cadets would control the whole thing. They would, I mean, we spend a lot of time teaching them what to do and how to do it. But after all, they'd say, "The oar's gone," and they would do a very good job of it.
So what was your role as RSM?
Disciplined again. The final say in anything to do with a drill.
Did you stand on the parade ground and shout?
Shout, yeah. and I think I quite enjoyed it. Because they were... all keen young men. I mean, obviously we've got the bad egg here and there, but by and large, they all wanted to become young soldiers.
Mm.
The Colonel Commandant and me did agree very well.
What was his name?
I forget them all, but I didn't want to know.
No.
Lake, I think it's Lake. I don't know.
You didn't get on with him too well then?
No, no. And of course, whatever we are, you've got to find an annual assessment report. And the adjutant read it out to me, and he says something about the stature of this warrant officer doesn't lend himself to be a regimental sergeant major of a junior leader regiment. I said, stop, that's enough, I'm going. And I could have been court-martialed there and then, because I just left and went back down to Brecon, see my colonel, brigade colonel, and told him. And actually, it all fitted in very well, because at that time, the regimental sergeant major of the depot had just been promoted, had just been commissioned, so there's a vacancy, so I had that. And the colonel said, well, right, Mr. Chandler, what sort of man does he want? And I said, same, he was 6 foot, I suppose. And they promoted, names are gone, he promoted the sergeant major, and he went up there.
Yeah.
I went back to the depot and...
Yeah. How tall are you?
I think if I stretch, about 5'4".
So, do you think your lack of height...
No, he just didn't like me, that was it. I haven't got them now, but I got letters from various people who come up and watch the personnel parade, and I mean, they just all of them full of praise. And I mean, not being big-headed, but it has a lot to do with my teaching.
Carry on.
No, I can just say from there, and I went back to Brecon, and within a matter of 6 months, the adjutant said to me, he said, Mr. Chandler, do you want to go to the battalion, which was over in Hong Kong? And of course, I said, yes, please.
Right, okay, let's just hang on the junior leaders, because I think, are they disbanded now, am I right?
Yes.
What do you think was good about them? I mean, what was, you know, what could they do which... other parts of the...
Well, they could have done that anywhere, I suppose. But there's a junior leaders regiment, artillery, infantry, tank corps. But these were selected because they had the intelligence, they had the ability, they were... just, you know, they give the impression they could do the job.
Mm. And I mean, you must have produced some good soldiers.
I think so. I like to think so anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They used to perform at the Royal Tournament, didn't they?
Fun.
Did they used to perform at the Royal Tournament?
I don't know. I never seen. Yeah, I should think so. Yes.
Mm. Mm. So you went back to Brecon.
Back to Brecon, and then.
Yeah. And then you went out to Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, yeah.
With the battalion again.
Yep.
And as what rank were you now?
RSM.
Still RSM, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what were they doing in Hong Kong?
Hmm?
What were they doing in Hong Kong?
But mainly, they've got always had a company up on the border with China, stop illegal immigrants getting in.
Right.
And spying on what the other side, what they were doing, if they could.
Wasn't there much spying going on?
Yeah, you just always keep an eye on what they could see and what anything else.
Mm.
But anyway, if they wanted to, the Chinese could have walked into Hong Kong at any time. We couldn't have stopped them.
Mm. Was there a big garrison there in Hong Kong? I mean,
no, there was two or three infantry regiments and about two or three regiments of Gurkhas.
Where were you based?
Up in Stanley Fort, on the southern tip of Hong Kong.
So what was life like there?
I liked it. A lot of the young wives didn't like it.
Why was that?
I don't know. Far from home, I think. Because my wife then would be, with the commanding officer's wife, would be, I won't say responsible, but would... spend a lot of time going around all the families and see that they listen to all their complaints and see what they could do for them. And I think she enjoyed that.
Mm. So there was a lot of your work was keeping an eye on how things were going.
Yeah.
Who is your commanding officer?
Colonel Everill. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was he a nice chap?
Pardon?
Was he a nice chap?
Yes, yes. He had Colonel Everill, then Colonel Somerville. His family is very traditionally naval chaps.
Do you remember what year you went out to Hong Kong?
About
61.
About 63, I think. 63.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how long were you there for?
I mean, about 2 years, 2 or 3 years.
Because
the regiment had been there for about 12 months before I got out there. Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy it there?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
Was it quite
like a peacock, you see? I mean, all my job was guards of honour. Honour, as Judy always tells me, not honour. any ceremonial parades. All dressed up in my best beard and tacker. And
who would you do guards of honour for?
Pardon?
Who would you do guards of honour for?
Any visiting dignitary, the
can you remember any of them?
No, not really.
Do you have any royals or?
I don't know. I can't. Not that I think. Remember, the I'm terrible these days.
So you enjoyed it out there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the tour of duty came to an end, did it?
Yep. Yeah. We come back then to England, the Lydd.
Lydd.
Down in Kent.
Yeah, that was about 65, yeah? Mm-hmm. And how long were you there?
Well, I finished my army service there. I wish I could find my discharge book. I didn't know exactly when, but
That's all right.
But by then my dear lady said, come on, I've had enough of this. I'd like to have a house and settle down. So the telling was then going out to Aden. So I said, I'll go to Aden and then I'll under my notice. So we agreed to that. And I enjoyed Aden. It is a lovely warm climate.
So what was going on in Aden then?
More terrorists.
More terrorists?
Yeah.
Right. They wanted. About 65 you went out there, was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what were you doing there?
Well, I was responsible for what they call the Mile a Mile. It was the main thoroughfare in Aden. And all the shops and the above the flats, which were all occupied by servicemen, or their wives, shall I say. And I would go and visit them every night, making sure they had no complaints, no problems. And we had a system where one of the family had to be on guard in each block. So I used to visit them and see they're all in order.
What was the atmosphere like? It sounds quite tense.
I think the families got used to it after a while. They took no notice of it. Because when we went out there, each like a block, then there'd be a gap which anybody could walk through, anybody could throw grenades through. So the powers to be decided they would brick them up, stop people coming through willy nilly, shall they? But all they used to do then wasn't very successful, would be throw grenades over the wall. So we used to build a bit higher wall and make it more difficult.
So were there acts of terrorism while you were there?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
Like what?
They're throwing grenades over the wall. But no problems. They pick them up and throw them back again.
So your job really was looking
after the families,
welfare, yeah. Do you think Aidan was a worthwhile exercise? You know.
Certainly.
Do you think Aidan was worth doing for the British? You know, because we.
Yeah, I think they were. I think for looking at the point of view, there's we less and less places to go to for the British Army. Because we haven't got many places left now which we can go to. I don't know if you really, but the Scottish, what was it, the Scots? I think it's the Argyll and Sutherland Islanders were out there.
Yeah.
And the commanding officer, again, I can't recall his name, decided that he, Crater was a part of Aidan. It was virtually the communists controlled it, and they wouldn't allow anybody in there. Mm. So the battalion commander, I think they supposed to be decided they would agree with nobody to go in there, but that didn't satisfy the commander. So he said, "Come on, we'll clear it." And he went in, sorted it all out, and then got discharged for his pains. But he came home, and then he put up for Parliament, and he got a member of Parliament for somewhere up in Scotland. Uh-huh. Mad Mitch, I think they used to call him.
Oh, yes, Mad Mitch. Mm-hmm. So how long were you out in Aidan?
But 18 months thereabouts.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then you came back. That was the end of the tour of duty, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you came back to Britain?
Come back to Lydd. Mm-hmm. And told the command officer I was going to finish, and that was it.
So what did you feel about leaving the army?
I didn't have no regrets. I had no regrets joining. I had no regrets leaving.
Really?
I think now when I see something, I possibly get a regret or something happening, some parade or something like that, where nothing to do with me. Unfortunately, I would have liked to be sort of taking part in it. A couple of years ago, we'd done the public duties on the Buckingham Palace and St James's Palace. That's the time when I feel I would have liked to have been a part of it.
Yeah. So you left the army when you were, what, 41, something like that?
41, 40.
About 66 you left, wasn't it?
Yeah, about 60.
About 41.
Yeah. About 50 or something,
you're getting on, about 41, yeah?
Bit more than what I think.
25 from 66. Right, okay. So what did you do then?
I got a job with the electricity board. I started off as an assistant storekeeper.
How did that feel after being in the army?
A bit of a letdown, but what, you know, you couldn't do anything about it. And again, then I was lucky. I gradually got promotion and promotion, and after a while, I ended up in Dartford. I had my own stores there, store supervisor.
In Dartford?
Dartford, yeah.
So your wife was still with you then, was she?
No, she died then.
She died then, yes.
Yeah.
So you had four young children?
They were all quite old then, then. Paul was quite a youngster. The other boys, Raymond and Philip, living up in North London.
Oh, right.
And Keith was moved back. He started off in Bracknell, working for the council, and I think he bought a house somewhere in Bracknell, and I think that they found it was a bit expensive. They couldn't manage it, so they saw that these journalists come around, or notices come around saying that there's a job just outside Aberystwyth. And of course, he got a house there. It was quite much cheaper, and he took it.
Right.
He does architect work. He hasn't got no official. No, excuse me. I've got to go on there. Keith, he works as an architect, but he got no qualifications.
Right.
But he's quite happy. He's got a good job, he reckons, and I'm quite happy as long as he's happy.
Excellent. How do you think the army's looked after you?
Very well. I'm quite happy. Mm. Yes.
When you said you wanted to leave, what did they say to you? Did they say why leave?
Well, there's nothing really. Excuse me. I go and get it.
I'll stop the tape.
I signed on it originally for 22 years. Then I signed on after that for another 3. And to go to 8, and I signed on for another 1. So there's nothing they can say about it. They were quite happy to get rid of me, more probably. I felt that by me keep on signing on, I was blocking somebody else's promotion. Mm. So I didn't want that. So
Did you get a pension from them?
Pardon?
Do you get a pension from
them? Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you're satisfied with that, are you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I'm not satisfied is the taxman takes too much of it.
Yeah. So, during all your... I mean, you had a long army career. I mean, what contact did you ever have with military police?
None.
None at all?
Didn't want any.
No, right.
No.
What did you think of them? I mean, you didn't want contact.
They had a job to do. In some ways, they're doing their job properly. They were helping me.
If you needed, when you were in charge of people, did you ever call on them for help or?
No, I don't think I ever did. No, I don't think I ever did.
No.
Only thing in when we were in Germany, Minden or in Brunswick, they all bought cars. And invariably, one of them would wrap it on a telegraph pole or something.
What, the military police?
No, the soldiers.
Oh, youngsters, mm-hmm.
And then the military police would come in and find out all the whys and wherefores of it.
Uh-huh. Because sometimes some people, think poorly of them, don't they?
I suppose they do. But then again, as I said, I think only people who think poorly of them is people who not living by the rules.
Mm.
I think when people wrap the car around a telegraph pole, it's only because they've been out drinking and they shouldn't do.
So you seem to have coped with the stress of combat very well. Did you ever get depressed or nervous or?
Yeah, I didn't. I think so. So we got into Germany. We outside a place called Goch. We were getting shelled. Every minute of the day, I think. And I didn't sort of blow my top, but I think I got very close to it.
Mm. What sort of symptoms did you have? Were you used to jumpy or...?
Yeah, you couldn't sleep, you couldn't settle down, you couldn't relax at all. I don't know, that's about it.
Did you see anyone go bomb happy or shell shocked or whatever they?
I never saw that person, but I know that there's quite a number of them run out from the lines and they were eventually picked up somewhere back behind the lines. And I think as it was in the 1418 war, poor buggers would have been laid up against the wall and shot.
Mm.
But they couldn't help it, and I can understand it.
Do you think the army's attitude was quite good to people?
I think so, yes. I think so, yes.
Did you get people in Malaya not able to cope with the stress of it,
No, I think they all coped quite well.
Mm. Perhaps they knew what they were going into in a way, perhaps they knew what to expect or thought they knew what to expect, having read about the Japanese and the Second World War and so so on, yeah. So you left the army fairly happily. Was there any sort of a send off? Because you were, I mean, you'd been RSM for a good while.
No, I don't. I think the ladies' club gave Novello a good send off, and I think the soldiers were glad to see me go. Possibly, I don't know.
Did you keep in touch with the army or
no,
the regiment?
No, I do. Yes, that's not quite true.
You do. Yeah.
We lived up in Darnford to start off with, and the London branch got a branch of the comrades, so I eventually joined them and kept in touch with them that way. And since we've been down here, we get in touch with the museum and we go down once a week to help out the museum, which keeps me in touch with everything.
During your time, any of your service, I mean, did you have any contact with other nations' troops? I mean, you've obviously mentioned the Germans and that,
yeah.
You mentioned the Americans. Did you meet any other Canadians or Russians or...
In Germany, we have a shooting match. It's called the Prix Leclerc. It's named after General Leclerc. Leclerc, I think. And there was Danish, Belgium, American, Canadians, and ourselves all taking part. Because we used to meet them then. Mm-hmm. And this is where I got even... don't dislike for the Americans, a crafty lot. The captain of our team, he was a rather a silly man, really. They went out one night and they met these Canadians and they realised who he was, so they started plying him with drinks and the coffee's coming back. Excuse me. Started playing him with drinks. Come on to the day of the shoot, and he was a very good pistol shot. But on the day, he couldn't hold a pistol straight. He was shaking so much. Of course, he got knocked out of it. And of course, that's, to me anyway, that started the old decline in everybody else. They all... The rest of the team, the stuffing got knocked out of them, and as we were expecting to come first, we only came third.
Because you were quite a shot. You were saying that you shot at Bisley.
Yeah.